Psychologist James Dobson reports seeing a sign on a convent in Southern California reading, "Absolutely no trespassing. Violators will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law." Signed, the Sisters of Mercy. Yeah. Mercy. But it does feel nice to laugh, doesn't it? Sometimes this time of year it can get a little depressing. I know for various reasons. Like, for instance, I was telling the folks before service that we had like 16 people in Mom and Dad's house over Christmas. My two sisters and their husbands and one of my sister's kids and their kids and the five of us, and all of us were gathered together. It was a great time. But, you know, I think about Mom and Dad today, and they might even be a little, of course, they might be celebrating. You never know. But knowing Mom and Dad, I think they're probably like, wow, we looked forward to this for months, and it's already over. You know, that type of kind of a homesick feeling. Also, there are folks that we've lost in our lives, be it friends or loved ones. And that makes it difficult this time of year, doesn't it? There are maybe many other reasons that we have kind of a hole in our heart this time of year. I mean, the presents are open, the extended family is gone, life goes back to the everyday, run-of-the-mill type stuff. Although we rejoice in the birth of Jesus, after the celebration, it can be quite a letdown. I would like to reflect on something about Christmas this morning. If you'd go with me, I'd like to take you along on a little journey. I was at a banquet several years ago, and you may have heard me tell this story before, but I was at a banquet several years ago, and I heard a fellow preacher tell a true story. He said that he was walking in a mall one day and ran across a parishioner who, after a short conversation, told him about a nativity scene that she had at home. She says, "The funniest thing keeps happening to the family's nativity scene. Jesus keeps falling from the family's cradle. Jesus keeps falling from the family's cradle." As you heard over the past few weeks, it has always amazed me how our society has made so beautiful, so clean and peaceful and easy a birth that took place among manure and dust and dirt and hay mildew, and animals munching on their food. Jesus' birth couldn't have been easy with the sights and the sounds and the smells of a barn full of animals or whatever it was that they were in. Besides, having a baby was one of a woman's most dangerous things that she did in those days. The mortality rate was extremely, extremely high for moms. These little nativity scenes that often decorate our homes are supposed to remind us of Jesus' birth, right? You've heard me ask that question before. They've been cleaned up and they've been set on a shelf to be admired as we scurry after the other things in life. But honestly, although I think they are beautiful, they really have little to do with the lowly, messy birth of Jesus, or quite honestly, His radical countercultural message in his life, do they? I kind of wonder if these scenes have become what we pretend Christianity is. You ever thought about that? What we hope will be required of us to follow this one who was born in a manger. I mean, the hair is getting thinner, so it might be a little easier, Dana. But you know, I think it's finally gotten through my thick skull why this society likes Christmas so much. It's because God came to the world as a baby. A beautiful, harmless baby that puts no demands on us whatsoever. A beautiful baby that doesn't tell us where we happen to be going wrong in our life. A beautiful baby that we, quite honestly, can control, can't we? Some of you probably have already put the beautiful baby away. But you know what? Jesus keeps falling from the cradle. Every year, he does the same thing. He grows up. You see, Jesus is not to be controlled or held back. Every year, Jesus falls out of the cradle, and every year, Jesus grows up. Every year, Jesus grows up, and we hear the same message. But do our lives change because of that message? Honestly. I mean, it's a rhetorical question, but I want you to think about it. Has your life changed because of the message that Jesus offers us? Are we living our lives in regards to how we see Jesus in our porcelain and fine glass nativity sets? Or are we living our lives in regards to the down and dirty Jesus we read about in the Bible? The Jesus that keeps falling out of His cradle. The Jesus that grows up and asks us to reflect upon and to change our lives. Does the message that we hear every year about God, the Creator of the universe, now think about that, don't read on, the Creator of the entire universe that loved you and loved me so much that He came to us as a baby, does that message change our lives? The faith that God through Jesus calls us to is an all-consuming faith. A faith that shatters lifestyles. A faith that we take to the workplace, to our homes, to our cars, and to the places that we play. Yes, even the golf course. Our scripture tells us that Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Yes, Jesus really grew up. He did. Jesus keeps growing up and keeps challenging us to a different lifestyle. So as we reflect on our own lives, are we living a Christian life based on the china mangers sitting in our living rooms, or are we following the example literally set by Jesus in our scripture? Which is it? The sad part of Jesus coming into this world is the fact that He brings spiritual peace and goodwill, but many of us don't have spiritual peace and goodwill, do we? See, Jesus comes into this world to bring joy, but many of us don't have joy, do we? This is all because we have not given Him a chance to have dominion over our lives. Jesus keeps growing up, and we keep trying to shove Him back in the manger. Amen. I hear you saying, but Eric, what does our life look like when Jesus is all-consuming in our life? What does our life look like? Well, here are two examples, and one is from the Old Testament. Many of you know this scripture. It's Micah chapter 6, verse 8, and it goes like this. But God's already made it plain how to live, what to do, what God is looking for in men and women. It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love, and don't take yourself too seriously. I love that line. Don't take yourself too seriously. Boy, we in the church world, sometimes we just take ourselves too seriously, don't we? Yeah. Don't take yourself too seriously. However, take who? God seriously. Now, we have to go back a couple verses, and I want you to go with me here to hear the question for this answer that we're... This is an answer. This is an answer. What is the question? Well, it starts in verse 6, if you want to go back later on, Micah 6, verse 6. And it says this, how can I stand up before God and show proper respect to the high God? Should I bring an armload of offerings topped off with yearly calves? Would God be impressed with thousands of rams, with buckets and barrels of olive oil? Would He be moved if I sacrificed my firstborn child, my precious baby, to cancel my sin? And what is God's answer? God's already made it plain how to live, what to do, what God is looking for in men and women. It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. So the question that they have is, with what shall I come before the Lord? And what would please the Lord? And the answer is, no thing at all. No thing at all. The question is based on a false assumption that God wanted some thing, right? Do you hear that? The answer makes clear that what God wanted was humanity. You see, God wants you. And God wants me. That is what God wants, to do what is fair and just to your neighbor. And by the way, to do what is fair and just to your neighbor is to do justice. Justice is something that one does. It's not wishing for justice or whining about injustices. To do justice means to work for the establishment of equity for all, especially the powerless. That is what justice is. To be compassionate, to move on in that scripture, to be compassionate and loyal in your love is to love kindness. This is that intangible thing that makes marriages work. It means love with a strong element of loyalty, a steadfast love. And to not take yourself too seriously is to walk humbly with your God. Many times we mistake humbly to mean that we have no self-confidence. That is not what scriptural humbleness means. To walk humbly with your God is not so much humility, it's more circumspectly or carefully. It means cautiously, vigilantly, watchfully, with awareness. That's what walking humble with your God means. But honestly, I want you to listen to me. The important word here is walk. That is the important word. Walk. To walk humbly with your God. It describes the whole orientation of one's life. This is describing how one ought to walk in one's day-to-day life. It's very similar to the call of Jesus, whose invitation was not to believe, but rather to follow me. Did you know that? Jesus didn't necessarily put out the invitation to believe, but rather to follow Him. I don't know, us guys can find that really interesting to follow Jesus. It's easier for us to follow many times, and we believe along the way. Amen? Follow me, Jesus says. You see, this is a step-by-step living with God and living for others, acting as advocate for the powerless, and showing care for those who are hurting and who need help. One cold evening during the Christmas season, a little boy, about 6 or 7, was standing out in front of a store window. The child had no shoes and his clothes were just rags. A young woman passing by saw the little boy and could read the longing in his pale blue eyes. She took the child by the hand and led him into the store. There she bought him some new clothes and new shoes. And they came back outside into the street and the woman said to the child, "Now you can go home and have a very happy Christmas." The little boy looked up at her and asked, "Are you God, ma'am?" She smiled down at him and replied, "No, son, I'm just one of God's children." And the little boy then looked back at her and said, "Well, I knew you had to be some relation. I knew you had to be some relation." I ask us this morning, are we relation to God? Are you relation to God? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? And if you have, when you're at work and when you're at home, when you're out with friends, can others tell that you are relation to God? I said that exactly the way I wanted to. Can people tell that you are relation to God? As a Christian, do we care more about the poor than we do the powerful? Is it obvious that we are a Christian, or do we feel like we need a symbol on our car, a label on our vehicle to identify ourselves? You see, we need to let Christ change our lives, and don't try to hold Jesus in the cradle. Amen? Let Jesus grow inside of us. Let's say this together. Don't try to hold Jesus in the cradle. Let Jesus grow inside us. Say it again. Don't try to hold Jesus in the cradle. Let Jesus grow inside us. Let His will become all-consuming in our lives. Let others see the difference that Christmas has made in each of our lives through our joy, our spiritual peace, and our goodwill. Folks, now's the time to throw off the grumpiness. If Jesus brings joy to our lives, how can we walk around grumpy all the time? Right? How can we? It's kind of like government intelligence. It's an oxymoron. Right? If we truly have Jesus inside of us, if we truly believe in the Christmas story and what Jesus' life is about, can we walk around and just be down all the time? Even if things aren't going right in our life, doesn't it just everything within us want to dance because of who Jesus is in our life? I believe that's what it's all about. I believe when Jesus is in your life, people start saying, man, I want what they have. I got to figure that out. And they'll ask other people, hey, do you know so-and-so? What do they have going on? They're always just so joy-filled. They're happy. See, that's the Jesus thing going on. That's when you don't need an ichthus on the back of your car or a cross or a Got Jesus t-shirt. Because everybody knows that you got Jesus for good English, right? Sorry, any English teacher out there. So let's forget about the New Year's resolution this year. Amen? I mean, what? Tuesday is New Year's Day, right? Let's forget. Let's not even try to make a New Year's resolution. It will only last maybe until the end of January anyway. So you're just setting yourself up for failure. You're going to get depressed. The days are short. It's going to be easy to even fall in deeper depression, right? Let's just remember that Jesus was born because God, the creator of the universe, loved you enough. God knew you before you were born. Do you understand that? God knew your name before you were born. God knew you when you were still in your mother's belly or womb, however you want to call that. Your God, your Creator, knew you and was proud of you. Do you understand that? God loves you and loved you before you even knew your own name. Do we understand that? That should bring us joy. That should bring us to tears. That should bring us to the altar to give God thanks and praise for the love that He has shown us. Amen? So let's forget the New Year's resolution. Let's start 2013 with a renewed covenant for Jesus Christ. Amen? A renewed covenant for Jesus Christ. Can we do that? Let's start 2013, folks, with a renewed covenant for Jesus Christ. Is that a possibility? You're just not giving me much hope here. Can we start 2013 with a renewed covenant in Jesus Christ? Is that a possibility? Let's shout amen. Amen. Let's pray. Holy God, we give You thanks and praise. We give You thanks that You loved us so much that You came to earth as a baby. That baby grew up, that became wise, Lord, in Your ways, and that taught how we should live our life. And although it makes us sad, God, we also celebrate His willingness to die on the cross for us so that we might be in relationship with you, God. We love you so much. And we ask that you anoint this place with your Holy Spirit. We ask, God, that we are so happy what you have done through us, that this church would grow. That your Spirit would be thick in this place and people would be attracted to your hope and your healing and the praises that we give to you, God. We love you so much and we thank you. We thank you ahead of time for 2013 and the wonderful journey that we're about to take. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and God's folks said, Amen.